702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Mabotja.
Let us have a conversation around what you need to know about neurofibromatosis. And we have neurologist Dr. Comfort Shaba, who's going to share with us not just what it is, what the different types are, but also why we all need to know about it. Dr. Comfort Shaba, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Relebogile. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let's talk about neurofibromatosis and share with us what it is.
So what it is it's a genetic condition, and it encompasses three different conditions where you get three different types, which I'm sure we'll go into, but it's type 1, type 2, and there's a third type called schwannomatosis. And what's similar about this group of conditions is that they all are predisposed to developing tumors, and these tumors basically can be from your head to your toes,
yes,
involving your brain, your skin. They can also affect the bones in your body.
So when we speak about tumors, are we specifically speaking about non-cancerous, as in the benign, or can they sometimes become cancerous being malignant?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, we get both types. We can get the ones that are benign, and we do get the cancerous types as well.
Okay, so in terms of, I think before we get to all of the symptoms and the signs, can we break down what the different types are?
Okay, so the first type, and it's the most common type, is NF1, and this is due to a mutation on chromosome 17. In this specific group of condition, it's usually related to skin manifestations. So the patients usually will have café au lait spots. Now, café au lait spot is a flat, light-colored patch that will happen all over the body. They can have freckling, which is little freckles in their armpits or in the inguinal area. They have some subcutaneous nodules. They may have scoliosis. Scoliosis is a curvature of your spine. This is the most common type that we see. With neurofibromatosis 2, it's usually more related to central tumors. So these tumors are usually in the brain, involving the nerves connecting to the ear. And then schwannomatosis would be somewhere in between, but usually also peripheral, but mostly just the nerves cells that are involved.
So
the interesting thing about this is that they're all autosomal dominant. So if you have a family history, you're more likely to have this condition.
So when it comes to the freckling, is that the cause of freckling, or the freckling is a sign of that specific type or one of the signs?
Yeah, it is one of the signs. Not all freckling is neurofibromatosis, but it's very characteristic to have freckling in your armpits or in your inguinal area. You must have at least two other signs as well in order to make a diagnosis. So not all patients who have freckles have this condition, just to make that clear.
That area that you were speaking about, which area is that?
The inguinal area, so in your groin.
Okay. Okay, we're gonna constantly translate, so we all know exactly. Because I actually don't know anyone who is not medical that knows that term. Okay, let's talk about NF2.
NF2 is more characterized by central occurring lesions. So these lesions, when I say lesions, I'm talking about the tumors. These tumors affect most commonly the auditory nerve, right? So patients will complain of hearing loss, and they also complain of dizziness and headaches. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, because the tumors seem to show up differently, can you quickly chat to us about what you look for? So you've mentioned lesions. Can you maybe help explain what a lesion is? And I feel like if I see it, I would know what it is, but I would never know how to describe a lesion.
Yeah. So lesion is just a broad term that medics like to use. It doesn't really mean a lot. So lesion would be something that we pick up, for example, if we're looking at the brain scan and we'll pick up a tumor. You know, we sometimes do call that a lesion. So lesion is very non-specific, but I think in this case, we should rather be quite specific and say we're looking at tumors specifically in the auditory canal when we talk about neurofibromatosis 2, and sometimes it's neurofibromatosis 1. We're talking about another type of tumor which comes from the covering of the brain called a meningioma. So these are both lesions, but it's more specific to call it exactly what it is.
So then what is schwannomatosis?
Schwannomatosis is a third type of neurofibromatosis. It's the most rare type. And this one is where you get tumors that grow on the covering of the peripheral nerve. And this can occur throughout the body, and it can cause, you know, obviously if you've got tumors that are growing on your nerve, it can cause quite a lot of pain. It can cause a lot of numbness or pins and needles. But this one is the most rare type.
Okay, and with it being rare, can we then talk about the diagnoses for the different ones? What are some of the signs and symptoms that you look out for?
Okay, so with the first type, NF1, it's quite easy because there's a lot of skin manifestations. So you will see those patches that are called cathelase spots. You'll see the freckling. You might see some nodules that are growing under the skin. Patients might have scoliosis, and that's quite an obvious curvature of the spine. You know, so the clinical diagnosis can be very easy. With the other two, the best form of imaging would be to do an MRI of your brain. And when we do that, then we're able to see those tumors that are growing within the brain itself.
Okay. And then I just want to touch on the curvature of the spine. How common is that, and what does that mean? And when, just in terms of the person's quality of life, and when around does that happen that you can diagnose? Is it something you're able to pick up when a child is a few months old, or it usually develops a little bit later?
So any of these symptoms can develop from any age. You know, the diagnosis can be made from as early as when a patient is 10 days old, or when they're adolescent, you know, but the median usual age is around about the age of 4, where you'll see this deformity. And it's got to do with the musculoskeletal, so the muscles and the bone involvement of this disease, which causes changes in the spine.
Okay, then just in terms of the NF2, I mean, with some of the signs and symptoms being the hearing loss.
Yeah.
If a person or a patient is presenting with basically gradual hearing loss, which I'm assuming because it's gradual, you won't notice until it's far along that actually, you know, somebody might pick up, I feel like you can't hear me when I talk, whatever the case may be. How do you find yourself diagnosing that or any of the other ones where it is gradual? It's not an immediate, oh, this is happening, let's sort it out quickly before it progresses.
Yeah, look, I think this is where we need to create a lot of awareness, you know, about having annual testing, and especially in children. You know, you don't going to realize that your child can't hear until it is too late, as you've mentioned. So to have the annual screening in terms of hearing is important. They will do audiometry testing, so they will do specific sounds, and they'll be able to see what type of hearing loss it is. Okay, so not all hearing loss is going to be this condition, but it's very important to pick up this specific sensorineural hearing loss, so that's related to the nerve. You do get, you know, some patients who have conductive hearing loss, so that's where they have wax or something like that, but that's quite easy to differentiate the two when you go to an audiologist for hearing tests.
So just in terms of all the different NF categories that we have spoken about, including the schwannomatosis, I need to keep getting this terminology correct. What are those very blatant symptoms that people can just look out for where, you know, many people will feel challenged to say, but I've gone to the GP back and forth. At what point or what should a person look out for where then they can advocate for themselves to say, actually, can I get a referral to a neurologist just to make sure?
Look, so the important thing is to have, if you have a progression in your symptoms, so progressive hearing loss, that would be the first thing, progressive dizziness, you know, all these things warrant a scan of the brain to see what's going on. With NF1, we're going to pick up all these skin changes. Quite importantly, there's usually a family history because it's an autosomal dominant condition, there is usually a family history. So we do find that it's sometimes easy to pick up because someone will say, oh, yeah, my mother has this or my uncle, you know, so that's quite an important finding to make. And then any kind of progressive numbness, pins and needles, lumps under the skin, you know, then it's very important to see a neurologist.
And how common is it that you are diagnosing this category?
Look, it's quite rare. I'm not sure what the stats are in South Africa, but it is a very rare condition, maybe one in 25,000 people.
So let's talk now about the treatment. What is available? Is it something that is incurable and not preventable, but works on a progressive type of treatment plan?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is to improve the quality of life for our patients. So we can't prevent this, unfortunately, it being a genetic condition, and we cannot cure these tumors that develop everywhere. But what we do is we can offer surgery for those tumors that are causing a lot of pain or causing pressure on certain nerves and causing, you know, that kind of pins and needles or numbness or weakness. So that is an option. The other option would be radiation or chemotherapy to try and decrease the rate of the growth of the tumors.
And I'm assuming then if a person does not have an aggressive treatment plan where they are far in, I mean, what kind of a realistic prognosis is the outcome? Is it just terrible quality of life or is now starting to look at palliative and hospice care?
It's mostly just about the quality of life. There is a slightly decreased life expectancy because of various things. So some patients having this condition present with seizures, and with seizures they're more prone to injuries or falls. You can die from epilepsy itself, so it does impact your quality of life. And in terms of life expectancy, there's about an 8-year decrease from the general population. But you've got to look at the quality of life for the patients. You know, sometimes they have, because of seizures or otherwise, they have cognitive dysfunction, learning disability, behavioral problems. So it's a whole multidisciplinary team that is required in order to effectively manage our patients.
Yes, yes. Is there anything else that you think the listeners need to know specifically about neurofibromatosis?
No, I think I'd just like to, you know, create that awareness of when it is that you need to seek help, so as soon as possible to get a diagnosis, and also just to let the general public know that this is not something that's contagious, you know, so you can interact with patients that have this condition. We want to prevent isolation and stigmatization of our patients, so that's something that I definitely would like to highlight.
Thank you so much for speaking to us about this, Dr. Comfort Shaba. For those of you that don't know, neurofibromatosis, it is rare, but definitely something we all need to be aware of.